This is Aaron Pednati, and I am at the Saratoga Springs Native American Festival in Congress Park, and I am talking to Joanne Shenandoah. Her bio in the brochure for the event reads as follows. Joanne Shenandoah is one of Native America's most celebrated musicians and lecturers. She carries beauty in her soul and voice, but also through her interactions with diverse communities around the world. She provides strength and passion for the people that is found in the likes of iconic philosophers and wisdom keepers. Holding a Grammy and 40-plus music awards, plus an Emmy nomination, she is an ambassador of peace, human, and earth rights, capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Her philanthropic efforts have included works with organizations for earth and human rights, specifically women and children. In addition, she is a founding member of the Hiawatha Institute for Traditional Knowledge, a nonprofit educational organization whose aim is to provide all with ancient knowledge of her ancestors. Joanne, thanks so much for this interview. I just saw the set that you performed here in the Canfield Casino, and it was tremendous. It brought down the house. People were on their feet. The audience enthusiasm level was palpable. So I wanted to ask you about your album, which is nominated for an Emmy at the awards that are happening tonight.
Thanks for having me on the show, Aaron. It's not my recent album, but it was a Grammy-nominated album, and this is called Peacemaker's Journey, and it's now up for the Emmy for Music and Sound on a PBS special called Native America, narrated by Robbie Robertson, my good friend. When they were making the film, you always have to have music. So this is a special category just for music and sound for the Emmys. So this is Peacemaker's Journey, and it's such a beautiful message of peace and how we can live in peace, have an open mind to be able to believe that we could save not only the earth but ourselves.
So can you tell us a little bit about the content of the film that the album's featured in?
Well, specifically my role in the film was talking about the life of Native America. What was it like? How did it begin? Or some people think we walked across the Bering Strait. Anyway, this particular recording I prayed for and asked for because the message is profound. It is one of our great Skinalahawe came across, the peacemaker came across these waters. He befriended somebody named Hiawatha, and he told him we could live without war. We could live in a world of peace. It was a very dark time for the Iroquois, and we weren't called the Iroquois then. We were the Haudenosaunee, the people of the longhouse, the standing stone, people of the hill, so all across New York State. So we have the Mohawk, the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Seneca, the Cayuga, and the Tuscarora. Those are our six nations. So it was sad, a really sad time when Hiawatha met Tatadao. During this dark time, an evil chief by the name of Tatadaho came to Hiawatha, and they fought and they fought and they fought and they fought, and there was a lot of bloodshed and war. And one day the peacemaker came to Hiawatha, and he told him he could live without war, and he showed him the quahog shell, the wampum, the purple and white, which is the Iroquois flag. That's called the Hiawatha flag. And the purple represents bruising or pain or suffering, and the white represents purity or truth. So when we hold the wampum in our hands, the Creator's listening to every word we say. So he'd carry the wampum. And the sad part was that Tatadaho actually had all of the children, all of the daughters of Hiawatha murdered. But Hiawatha laid by a lake for days, and he was so sad. He couldn't get his heart off the ground. He lost his whole family, and he loved them dearly. But he remembered that wampum, and he remembered that we could live in a world of peace. So he came with the first woman, the first clan mother of our people. Her name was Jagunsase, Mother of Nations. Together they came singing a song so beautiful that it changed the hearts and soul and mind of everyone there in that village, including Tatadaho. So they came singing that song to him. And through music, they came together and they brought healing, and they formed what we know today as the Iroquois Confederacy.
So that feels like a story with a message that's very relevant to the world today. And is that something that you had in mind?
I just know that I'm an instrument. I've been gifted with a voice, and I am pleased and blessed and honored to use it and to speak on behalf of my ancestors, on behalf of the people who are here, past, present, and future. So that's my responsibility. My gift is my responsibility, and I love that. I'm very, very honored and humbled by it.
And another one of the songs that you sang that brought people to their feet was called the Prophecy Song. That's about a feeling of being surrounded by the forces of chaos, being kind of lost in the dark, but it ends with a message of hope that we can come through that darkness and that there is light at the end. Is that something that you recorded with the headlines of today in mind, or was it actually recorded prior to the Trump administration, but sort of has a resonance for it? It definitely went over with the audience in a way where they felt like you were talking about current events. But what did you intend with that song?
I think music is timeless. So it doesn't matter how old we are, what color skin we have, what age, our babies, our grandparents, the administration. Doesn't matter what time it is, it's always good to have the peace. Like I'm saying, this particular song I chose to sing at the Parliament of the World's Religions in South Africa, and it's an Anishinaabe song, which the words translate, and you will hear it in the album. So I'll leave that for the listeners.
Okay, yeah, that'll definitely be a part of the segment. But I just want to say before we go, thank you very much for this interview and very best of luck at the Emmys.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Recognized in the spirit world.